God is good. And all the time. Weet jy wat ons nog nie gedoen het, vandat ons weer by mekaar begin en kom met die soort as groet drie mense rondom jou ernstig met Jesus' liefde, maar skree net oor die 1.5 meter op, sê hallo, whatever, maar as jy in die selle huishoud is, dan kan jy mekaar maar groet. Hello everybody, hello John, hello Louis, how's it everybody, hello, hello, hello. Goed om julle allemaal te sien. Hey jullie. Hallelujah. Good morning, all the people in this hall. Turn that way and say hello to the people in that hall. And die mense langs aan, say hello for ons. Hello! It's good to see you all this morning. Well, vandag is 'n baie speciale dag, want dis die dag wat die Here gemaak het. Amen. And also, some thoughtful individual decided, and ek weet nie of dit 'n wêreldwye ding is nie, maar today is Father's Day. So, we just want to pray a special blessing over the fathers today and also get you to stand up and you're going to receive a little something. So, without further ado, let's just pray God's blessing over the fathers today. God, it is a privilege that we can call you Abba Father. You are Daddy God. You are our Father. Jesus, because of what you've done at the cross, you gave us the right to believing in you to become children of God. And today we want to lift up every father to you. Every man, Lord God, that you've given the privilege of raising children. And also for every man that has had the privilege of having a father in his life. We pray for them this morning, Lord. Father, these are the leaders of the homes. Then lead the families, and the families, Lord God, grow into churches, and the churches build the nation, and the nation can be strong because of God-fearing men. Lord, I pray for wisdom for every father today. Lord, as he humbles himself to seek your face and learn from you to raise up children in the fear and admonition of the Lord, as he humbles himself and turns to you, so that you can enable him to become a God-fearing husband that can lead his bride to Christ. I pray for wisdom and protection for them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord God, that you encourage them by your Spirit in the name of Jesus, that they will recognize who they are in Christ Jesus, that they are sons of the Most High God. Lord, I pray that they will know your grace, that your grace is sufficient for their mistakes, Lord God. And that when we come to you and repent, Lord God, you quickly heal us of that which has distanced us from you. So today, Lord God, every father, Lord, our online audience watching at home, Lord God, this prayer goes out to you too, our precious brothers. That God be with you all and in these buildings this morning. May Almighty God bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God lift up his countenance over you and give you peace. May God convince you in your heart that you are his son. God bless you today, fathers, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Okay, Sunny Mano, asseblief, gou opstaan. We just want to make sure that you're men by standing. Just stand up. If you're a man, stand up. Stand up. Some of you are standing and thinking, well, ek weet nie of ek 'n pa is nie. Nie dat ek van weet nie, maar staan op in elk geval. Ons wil julle graag sien vanoggend met ietsie. Okay, en dan, not many people get blessed and have the privilege of reaching the milestone van 75 jaar oud. Tannie Hannetjie, langs aan, feels geluk, dat Tannie 75 jaar behaal het met Tannie se 75ste verjaarsdag. Veels geluk. Amen. Baie, baie, baie dankie. Amen. Bless you guys. Once you've received your little gift, men, it's just something from us to say, we love you, we appreciate you, we value you. You're a man of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. You may be seated. Once you've received your gift, You may be seated. And for our online audiences at home, every father, if you're going to spend time with your family or whatever, we pray that you enjoy it. And God bless you today. May it be a special day. And may God just really make his love real and known to you in a special way, personally, as an individual. So bless you guys today, men. Happy Father's Day. For those of you whose dads have passed on and graduated to be with the Lord, honor your dad's memory as well by just reminding others, grandchildren, if you've got, of the goodness that he is, that he's done and showed to you in your life. So, you know, bless you for that. Amen. How many of you? Mine's coming. How many of you, right here, where you seated this morning or listening at home, can point to a scar on your body? Anybody? There's a scar. And when I mentioned that scar, can you remember what happened for you to get that scar? And at the time when you got that scar, was it pleasant? And I'm not talking about cosmetic surgery or breast enhancement, ladies. Come on now. But when, or Botox, whatever. But when you got that scar, was it pleasant? Not, nee. Dit was glad nie aangenaam nie, nê. I look at some of the scars on my body and I think, you know, if I had just listened, I wouldn't have had that scar. But I want you to notice something specific about that scar. If you, depending on where it is in your body, okay? Want ons is nou in 'n kerkgebou. Look at that scar. Touch that scar. Can you notice something about that scar? That it is tougher and harder than the rest of the skin around it. And every scar is just a reminder of yet another battle that the devil lost. Sometimes the scars on our bodies is just a reminder when we were stupid and we'd done something that is stupid or reckless or onverskillig or whatever. And the time when we go through those things at the time, it's not necessarily pleasant. And depending, you know, people say that you know, our character develops through tough times. I'd say that your character always develops, but it doesn't always develop in a positive way. It's your attitude during those tough times that determine whether your character develops in a positive way or in a negative way. And I've called this message this morning, God meant it for good. In Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20, it's where the story of Joseph, and we'll look at his life a little bit. His family and his brothers explained to him, oh, we're so sorry what we have done to you. And he said, guys, it's okay. What you meant for my harm, God meant it for good. And we see in the life of this young Joseph that, like him, many times life surprises us with a turn of events. And it seems as if the devil is having a field day in our lives. How many of you can anklank with it? You wonder, like, God, where are you? It's just like the devil is just having his way. He's just doing what he wants. I mean, I don't even feel like a Christian anymore. Have you ever wondered why bad things happen to God-fearing people and to godly people? Why does that happen? You know, surely once we give our life to the... Hey, check what the tacky saw. I didn't even know. Leon, check his saw. Ever, you know, wonder why is it that bad things happen to godly people? Why is that? You know, what about all the promises of God's protection in the Word, and in the camp his guardian angels about us and protect us from the arrow that flies by day or the pestilence that comes by night, and he'll keep us under the shadow of his wings and all of, what about all those things? Surely those scriptures hold some weight in our lives when it comes to bad things happening in our lives, folks. We see that life is real. Life is real, and bad things happen to godly people all the time. However, for a life that is surrendered to God, He always intends it for good. And we see, just quickly, we're going to go through some scripture verses. Yeah, Genesis 37 and verse 5. Joseph has a wonderful dream, and he decides to share it with his enemies. No. He shares it with his loved ones, his brothers. He shares it with his family. And guess what happens? As a result, they're so excited and they join in his enthusiasm in his dreams, and they help him realize his dreams, and they do whatever it takes to encourage him and help his dreams come to pass in his life. Right? No. He shares his dreams with them, and what do? They sell him off into slavery. How many times have you shared your dream with someone and they just laugh it down and take the wind out of your sails or rip the carpet from under your feet and think, yeah, whatever. All he did was share his dreams. And then he gets sold off into slavery. And then in Genesis 39 and verse 2, we see that Joseph ends up in Potiphar's house. And the scripture says that Joseph was a good-looking man, like the fathers here today. And none of the guys say amen. In fact, none of the women say amen either. Hey, come on, lady. Did you, Debbie? Well done, Debbie. Well done. Dion, keeper. She's a keeper. So he's doing well in Potiphar's house. The Bible says that he was well built. He was like, yummy. And Mrs. Potiphar was warm for his form and makes eyes at him. Yeah, he's doing well. He's excelling so much in Potiphar's house. Potiphar doesn't have to take care of anything because he knows Joseph, my man, has got it. All he's doing is doing things in a spirit of excellence. And where does it end up for him? Well, Mrs. Potiphar makes a move on Joseph. Joseph doesn't want to know anything. Guys, I want to talk about this a little bit. The Bible says, speaks and teaches us all sorts of things when it comes to resisting sin and temptation. It tells us to stand our ground, to resist the devil, submit to God, and he will flee from you, except sexual sin. You know why? Because ons kan nie. The Bible teaches us to run. When a Mrs. Potiphar comes to you by die werk, and she says, "Hoor, meneer se vrou is so gelukkig om met meneer getrou te wees." Don't entertain those thoughts, gentlemen. We are not created to resist sexual temptation. We designed to vat ons goed en on hardloop ons weg. The best you can do, you cannot resist sexual sin. You run away. Can I hear an amen from the gentleman? All other kinds of sin you resist. Sexual sin, you run, papi. You run. Because die Here weet, ons kan nie. A man is nie a klip nie, en ons net rooi bloed en al die nonsense. You run. And Joseph did the most godly, manly thing that he could. He ran. He gets accused by Potiphar's wife in 39 verse 2. Genesis 39 verse 2. She says, he attempted to rape me. And in his running, she grabbed a piece of his clothing or whatever. His cloak, took it off him, and she said, look, this is what he done. Where does that? By simply doing an excellent job. Maybe you're in a place in your life where you're doing exactly what God has told you to do, but the devil just keeps coming blow after blow after blow. Stick around. The best is yet to come. Amen? So here we see Joseph, for doing an excellent job, ends up in prison. Dan dink ons vir onsself, Here, maar ek saai en ek saai en ek saai en ek saai, en al wat ek maai is nonsense. This thing of sowing and reaping, dit werk nie vir my nie. Stick around. Scripture says, cast your bread on the waters in Prediker. And after many days, how many days? How long is that? And after many days, it will return to you. Just keep on keeping on. Imagine this youngster. He gets sold at the tender age of 17 years old. Ends up in prison. just for doing an excellent job better than anybody else. How many of you are at a place of employment and you're doing an excellent job and people get promoted in front of you, promoted, and they just keep overlooking you. My brother, my sister, God has not overlooked you. He's up to something. So Joseph ends up in prison. Let me just get this thing running again. Okay, so we see he ends up in prison, falsely accused by Potiphar. And guess what? Because Joseph is a God-fearing man, he starts to do well in prison as well. Well, how do you do well in prison? Well, the prison warden and the prison guard saw that God was with Joseph, and he realized there's something about this oak. Let this oak somehow be in charge of things here in the prison as well. And Joseph was doing well and excelling in prison as well. He starts doing well in prison, and he accurately and correctly interprets dreams. So what does he do again? Once again, he does things in a spirit of excellence. And where does that leave Joseph? Staying in prison for an extra 2 years. Once again, just for doing what is right. Now, I don't know about you, ladies and gentlemen, but if I was Joseph, I'd ask him, Why must I even try and be good, Lord? What is the point of just trying to live a godly life? Because look where it gets me. It gets me sold by my family, gets me thrown in prison, gets me falsely accused of rape, and all. It's just going south. Don't give up. Maybe you're at a place in your life where you're doing what you know is right in the eyes of God, and it seems to be not working out. You're testifying. You're honoring God in your heart. You're honoring God with your finances, with your relationships, everything, and it's still not going right. So he does well in prison, and it gets him an extra 2 years in prison. Genesis 39 and verse 23. And then we see he gets released out of prison. After that extra 2 years, and he interprets the dreams for the cupbearer and the baker. The one guy gets his head chopped off, and the other one gets his position as a cupbearer restored to work for Pharaoh again. And then Pharaoh has bad dreams. And he says, I need somebody to interpret these dreams. And the cupbearer remembers, now this day I remember that I'd said to Joseph, I will mention him when I get out before Pharaoh. And he tells Pharaoh about Joseph's ability to interpret dreams. Pharaoh gets Joseph out of prison again, tells Joseph the dreams, and Joseph immediately gives glory and honor to God. He says, this ability is not from me. Hy kom maklik die shine gevang het vir homself, because, I mean, they would have known anyway. So, look, it's me, I'm Joseph. Look at me, I'm Joseph. He says, no, I don't have this ability. This ability comes from God. And he tells Pharaoh the meaning of the dreams. And Pharaoh sees that God is with Joseph, and he promotes Joseph to run the entire known world of the day. And we see that as a result, Joseph ends up saving the whole world at that time and rescuing his family. Because his family is suffering the consequences of the drought. They know that their supplies in Egypt, it's been well managed and well run. Not knowing that Joseph is busy doing it, because they believe that Joseph has been killed. The brothers know what they've done, but Joseph's father, Israel, believes that Joseph is dead. Come to Egypt to get supplies, and they end up meeting Joseph. Joseph ends up in Potiphar's, in Pharaoh's house at the age of 30 years old. So from 17, the Bible fast forwards, mentions nothing about what happens in Joseph's life in those 13 years. And at 30 years old, we see that Joseph is before Pharaoh at the age of 30 years old. Dan vra ek vir julle mense, wat het met daai jong tiener geword in daai 17 jaar van sy lewe? What happened to Joseph in those 13 years? Then we see he basically runs the land. The only person he has to answer to is Pharaoh. And Pharaoh is not running the land, because he doesn't have the wisdom of God inside of him. Here is a God-fearing man who's running the nation. Did God make Joseph president? No, but he let him run the land. And I believe God can do something similar in this nation as well. Mense bid vir 'n Christelike president. Well, God doesn't need a Christian president. He needs a God-fearing man. A woman. But it'll probably be a man. That's just how things are. To lead this nation. What happened in Joseph's life in those 13 years? Maybe you're at a place in your life where all you're doing is what God has called you to do. And it seems like a long, 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 long time. I'm going to submit some thoughts to you this morning that what might have happened in the 13 years of Joseph's life that the Bible speaks nothing of. How many times do you hear Christians saying this? All things... Come on, some of you are already quoting it. All things work together for the good purposes. Huh? All things work together for the good purposes. What about the rest? There's two things in that verse that I want to look at this morning. It's Romans 8 and verse 28. And it says, we know, and I'm paraphrasing, some translations say it differently, we know that all things work together for the good. For those who love the Lord. That's the first point. The second point is those who are the called according to His purposes. The New Living Translation, second edition, says that we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. So two requirements. The first thing is those who love God. Now, I want to ask you quickly respond to this by raising your hand. Are you ready? How many of you love God? Okay, put your hands down. Okay. Waar volgens bepaal ons of ons lief is vir God? Omdat jy dit voel in jou hart. Well, what is Jesus' standard? How do I know I love God? What's the standard that Jesus... You say, well, Mozzie, I do charitable deeds. You know how much money I've given away to help needy people during lockdown. I don't swear that often. I don't drink that much. I don't sleep around that much. You know. I only murder those who really, really deserve it. I'm not that bad. What is Jesus' standards to determine whether we love God or not? Because ladies and gentlemen, truth be told, ons beste dade voor God is soos vuil skroplappe. Isaiah says that man's best deeds are like filthy rags before God because the flesh can't please God. What pleases God? What is the biblical standard to say, I love God? You see, I sometimes think of myself when the Spirit convicts me and I weep. I cry. Because I've cried tears, does it mean I've repented? Sometimes it means I'm sorry I've been caught. Daarom heilig. Repentance is when in my heart I turn away from that which I know is wrong and turn my life towards God and say, God, help me. Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me. I want to live this change out and not just think about it, yeah, and not just feel a little bit of remorse, yeah. So we've got to ask ourselves the question, what is the biblical standard for God's love? Now, Jesus says, He says this, John 14 and verse 15, He says, if you love me, obey my commandments. That's the standard. So I'm going to ask quickly again. Don't raise your hand this time. Do you love God, my brother, my sister? Because He says, obey my commandments. Am I obeying God's commandments? What are they? Die Ten Gebooie? Let's just sum it up. I don't know how many of us can and cannot remember the Ten Commandments. Four of them deal with our relationship with God. The rest of the six deal with our relationship with people. So I'm going to summarize it and make it easy for us this morning. You want to know what the commandments of God are. Love God, love people. The first four, the last six. Love God, love people. How are we doing on that front this morning? You might be thinking, great, Mozzie, I'm fine. I love everybody, okay? And those that want to kill and destroy you. You see, it's easy to love you, Oaks, because yellow's awesome. But loving those who persecute you and who hate you, that's God's standard, ladies and gentlemen. Nou, my bemoediging vir ons almal vanoggend, beginnende met myself, is just quickly come before God and admit, God, I can't do it. I can't. I don't even try and pretend that I can love everybody. I can't. I just can't. And a lot of times I don't want to. Mense, dan maak ons so droog, I don't want to like you, man, because jy's onnoosel. Kom ons los dit net daar. I don't want to love you. But surely I've given God many, 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 many reasons to feel exactly the same way about me. About me. You see, if I get to a point where I think I qualify or I deserve to live in heaven, already I've disqualified myself by thinking like that because I'm not worthy of His grace. We're not worthy of it, people. We don't earn and inherit salvation because we're worthy. We inherit salvation because He loves us and through faith. We are saved by grace through faith, and it is a gift of God, not by works, so that nobody can boast. Ephesians 2 and verse 8. We're saved by grace through faith. Faith in what? That Jesus is the Son of God, that He paid the price for our sins. And that's the standard that God sets. So for us to say, Romans 8:28, all things work together for the good. For good, for those who love the Lord. So let's, kom ons bring daai goed by mekaar volgende. All things work together for the good. For those who love God and love people. That's how we should be thinking of that verse. All things work together for the good. For those who obey His commandments of loving Him and loving people. And then the second condition, those who are the called according to His purpose. Now if I say to you, are you called of God? You might think, well, no, Mozzie, because I'm sitting down here and you standing up there. You called of God. I'm just called here to listen. Well, folks, some people are called to fivefold ministry and some people are not. But the fact remains is, according to the scripture, we're all called. Well, how can I say that? Well, this is how we know that we are called by God. Remember last week I spoke about the wind blowing the curtains and the voice saying, Mozzie, this is your father speaking. I'm not talking about being called like that. This is how you're called. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 says this. And this is for people. Are you a person this morning? Are you a people? Cool. It says this. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. It says, but you're not like that. Speaking about, read the context of those of that verse before that and we'll see. But you're not like that. For you are a chosen people. You are royal priests. A holy nation. God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God. Why? For He called you out of the darkness into His wonderful light. God has called us out of darkness into His wonderful light. So many people long for a call of God on their lives because they think that what's fivefold ministry? Apostles, pastors, prophets, teachers, and evangelists. They think that that's the end all and the be all of Christianity. Folks, it is not. This is the call of God on your life. Come out of darkness into His marvelous light. He's called all of humanity into a lasting, loving relationship with Him through His Son, Jesus. That's the call of God on our lives. So how many of you this morning know that you're called by God? Folks, He's called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. The devil had things intended for Joseph, but God had a plan. Can you imagine? At 17 years old, you're a teenager, you shared this with your brother, your brothers for heaven's sake. You're thrown into a pit, sold into slavery. Do you think Joseph... Let's be real and honest with each other. Do you think Joseph had God's goodness on his mind? You're in this pit. You've just been forsaken by your brothers, sold into slavery. You're thinking, God, you're so good. Hallelujah, ek is in hierdie gat gegooi. Thank you, God. And then you end up in prison. Oh, God, he's so good. I thank God that I'm locked up. I thank God that I'm falsely accused. Nee, mense, ons dink nie so, wanneer die gemors van die lewe besig is om daai litteken op ons liggame en op ons harte en op ons siele aan te bring. Ons dink nie van God se liefde nie. We just think of the pain and the suffering of wonder for himself. Why, Lord? Why? But God is telling you this morning that he loves you and he's called you into a lasting, loving relationship with him. En mense, van ons kant af, menslik gesproke, is dit onmoontlik om in daai verhouding te wandel. But God makes it possible when we submit to him through his Spirit to enable us to live this life of intimacy with him. Then we can say, all things work together for the good. Because I love God and I love people. And he's called me out of darkness into his marvelous light. Kind of puts a different twist on Romans 8:28, doesn't it now? Eh? Different. For those who love the Lord and those who are the called according to his purpose. And then we see in the life of Joseph how his brothers want to apologize to him, and he says this, that God, the devil intended this for evil in my life, and God intended it for good. How's the call of life, the call of God confirmed in our life? When we respond in obedience. You see, God calls, not everybody responds. Is that true? This is look at the world today. God calls, not everybody responds. Does it change the fact that God has called? Doesn't change his call, doesn't change who he is, doesn't change the place where he wants us to be. But darkness is real, ladies and gentlemen. There's as much as heaven is real, hell is very, very real. A lot of people say, no, hell doesn't exist, earth is hell. No, folks, earth is not hell. You still hear laughter, you still see smiles, you still see beauty in this earth. As messed up as it is, that ain't hell at all. Hell is real. Heaven is real. The devil is mighty. God is almighty. Hallelujah. And Joseph turns around in verse 20 of Genesis 50. He says, you meant this for my harm. God meant it for my good. I want to encourage you this morning that when you're going through a difficult time and the world is facing, you know what? I said this, I think, it was in one of the video sermons that we did before we started getting back together. You know what the greatest, there's a greater epidemic in the world, greater than COVID-19. And that's unbelief. People speak about the unforgivable sin, the unforgivable sin. There's books written about it, blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. But blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is simply unbelief. Not believing that the works that the Holy Spirit does is the Holy Spirit doing that work and ascribing those works to the devil. So, if you want to know what it is, the unforgivable sin is unbelief. Because when you're at a place where you don't believe in the sacrificial completed work of the cross, and Jesus is who he says he is, there's no longer redemption for your soul. The unforgivable sin is unbelief. That's the biggest epidemic facing the world today. And God has sent a cure. Jesus, his son. You see, what the devil has meant to harm you, God has meant for your good. This has not been demonstrated greater than the harm that the devil meant for Jesus ended up being the good of our salvation. You can imagine Jesus crucified on the cross. And the devil and all his cronies thinking, yes, we got him. We've killed the Son of God. The devil's intention was always to be like God. He was kicked out of heaven because he thought to himself, I will exalt myself to the highest of heavens and I will become like the Most High God. And he was kicked out of heaven when he thought that. He was kicked out of heaven. You can imagine hell rejoicing, yes, Jesus is dead. One day goes by. 2 days go by, And on the third day, the stone is rolled away from the tomb. And that bruised and battered, beaten, pierced body stands up. And in the time he was in hell, Jesus takes the keys, Revelation says in Revelation chapter 5, which is a symbol of authority, takes the keys of sin, death, and the grave away from the devil. And he raises from the dead again in fulfillment of prophecy upon prophecy upon prophecy. And he raises himself from the dead. And he says to doubting Thomas and those who don't believe, here, put your hands in my wounds and see, I once was dead, but now I'm alive. And what the devil intended for Satan's harm turned out for our good, so that one day, on days like this, we can get together in times like this, with the circumstances in our lives like they are like this, and say, Jesus, here we are. Take that which the devil is intending for my harm and turn it around for good. Every scar, every ding, every wound, every sign of battle and engaging the enemy, and whether the time period in your life is like 13 years for Joseph, or longer or shorter, whatever it may be, say, God, I know you're up to something, because all things work together for the good for those who love God, love people, and have responded to his call on their lives to move away from darkness into his marvelous light. That's why this morning we can say, devil, you meant it for harm, but God is turning it around for my good. Does that bless you this morning? Does that encourage you this morning? And I pray that by God's Spirit, and here's the deal, ladies and gentlemen, by the grace of God, we're going to leave this building this morning. Who knows if we have the privilege of getting back next week? We don't know. But the point I'm trying to make is that out there is life. It's a tough life. It's a difficult life. It is not fair. Jesus didn't come to earth to make things fair or to make them easy. He came to make them possible, and that we wouldn't have to do it alone. So when we go out there and the business fails and the doctors give you those fatal diagnoses and relationships are falling apart, and the break and by ice and the steel, and dit word dit gaan verkeerd, and this one does this, and that one does this, and you lose a loved one unexpectedly. When that stuff happens, remember that what the devil has intended for harm, God will turn around for your good. Thank you for taking the time to listen this morning. And by God's grace, may His Spirit help you apply these truths to your life. When you're going through that 13-year period in your life, God, at Netni Sin Makni, where everything around you wants to convince your mind that nothing in the Scripture is true, remember that God's Word still holds true, and His plans and His purposes for your life. Thank you for coming this morning and making the time to listen to our online audience. We trust that this has blessed you and encouraged you as well. If you're listening at home, trust that God will get you through whatever difficult time you're going to face. Till such time that we get together again, may Almighty God bless you all and keep you. May God make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God lift up His countenance over you and give you His supernatural peace that surpasses all understanding. Ek gaan nie diep en vra om weer vir ons iets te speel om mee af te eindig, asseblief. Thank you for making the time to come this morning. We love you and appreciate you. God bless you.